talk about the fallout.
Mate, we've got the screen up here.
It's wonderful.
In the studio. We've had Greg Alexander text into the program and said, I've watched it a dozen times. He scores 95%. Yeah. 95%. I'm 50-50.
Oh, mate, when you think they can't score these days, when they've got no room to move at all, they tend to score. Look.
Well, here we are. If Hayne digs in, he stops Chambers getting across.
Correct.
So Gagai's out of play. He passes there. Does Slater get across?
And
all right, I'm at 60 now.
Some of our listeners, too, have pointed out, and it's a very, very substantial point that Andrew Webster from the Herald will buy into, that it worked for Jared Hayne in game number one. That's the sort of move he pulled, went straight through untouched and went up into Blatchy's Blues. But it didn't work on this occasion.
The Statue of Jared.
Andrew Webster, we're talking about centimetres here, Webby. Good morning, buddy. You know all about that.
Boys. I'm okay. I woke up this morning and said, did that really happen on Wednesday night? I was feeling a bit of shock.
It did.
Like most of New South Wales, the Hayne plane didn't have the best game, did he?
No. He wasn't on his Pat Malone, by the way.
No, but I can tell you, there was quite a lot out of the New South Wales rooms after that match.
Yeah.
And they certainly felt like the Hayne non-pass to Brett Morris was a missed opportunity. They go up 20-6, kick to come.
Yeah.
You would think
they win.
Even though
they win.
Straight up shot, they probably win. So, you know, you can't really dwell on those missed opportunities. I do have to say this, boys, it was the most shattered dressing room I have ever seen covering the game of rugby league. That includes origins of the past and also grand final, losing grand final dressing rooms. Boyd Cordner, I sat there. I've never had this, with a player before, but I stood there. This is about an hour and a half after the game, and I had my tape recorder. I was talking to Boyd, and he just was sitting there just in tears.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a player that shattered after a match than Boyd Cordner. There is a feeling amongst the New South Wales coaching staff that he was that emotional, because I think he knows that his calf is going to be very touch and go and whether he's going to be there for game three. And if you consider his situation, he's the captain in his first year at 16-6. You know, midway through, with 4 minutes to go, he's almost, you know, holding the shield aloft. But now he mightn't be there for game three on July 12 at Suncorp Stadium. So, yeah, it was pretty shattering after that game.
And remember, his body's let him down and he's missed big games. Last year he was player's player in the first game and then missed the final two games. So, yeah, he feels that very strongly.
He was great.
I'll tell you who was really strong. I thought his comments on TV, we spoke about them a lot yesterday, were really strong. He continued in the dressing sheds, apparently, Webby.
He did. So, Joey did the player interviews after the game, and I saw him there, and obviously know Joey well from Channel 9, and I said, Joey, you're right. He was just steaming. He's still steaming. I didn't see the comments. I haven't heard about the comments in his post-match, in the post-match dissection on Channel 9, and he basically went on the same rant that he had gone on Channel 9 in earshot of the players. And the thing that the different point that he made was the referees. I told him to think of the refs. He said you don't give them the opportunity to make them a factor.
That's
you take
true.
The game away from the referees. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the referees in the last 24 hours, but I think it's a little bit of a cop out, to be perfectly honest.
Absolutely. The lowest common denominator is you blame the ref, right?
Absolutely.
And I think 50-50 many of our listeners are above that.
I think you'll find, I didn't find any of the players whinging about it. I know Laurie sort of laughed at the press conference afterwards about it and didn't really, what he didn't say said enough about what they thought of the referees. But I didn't get that feeling from a lot of the players. I think they knew that they blew it.
Well, that's good, because you've got to accept responsibility. And we were saying yesterday, if you're looking to blame the referees, you're looking in the wrong areas for the loss for New South Wales. So now, I liked your little last par that you had in the column today about, you know, the speculation around Kevvy Walters and whether he would be coached next year. He's got that contract. It seems that the push is coming from one area, Andrew.
Well, it's the push for Wayne Bennett to replace Kevin Walters as Queensland coach after the first match was quite hilarious, I thought. We had him on the show earlier in the week, and I couldn't believe they would be calling for Kevin Walters to be replaced as Queensland coach after having just two losses in the role and a series win, with a series still alive. Like, it seemed very New South Wales-like, to be honest. And there's some former Queensland players who seem to know where it's coming from. and they're not going to let her go. So it's been duly noted by them. So I think I find it wrong that someone like Kevin Walters is being targeted by their own north of the border.
So. Yep. And it was an extraordinary outburst from Wayne Bennett, really, regarding Jarryd Hayne. But apart from that, mate, I think there will be changes to the 17 because I think injuries are going to play a part for game number 3. But I think redemption's the great rugby league pathway, Webby.
Absolutely. I can't see them dropping anyone.
No.
That was the feeling out of the New South Wales Rugby League yesterday. And I agree with it. I know there's a lot of people calling for Hayne, but... You know, one bad match doesn't mean you drop him. He can be a match winner when he's on his day. I don't think you want to be panicking straight away. And, that, you know, they've gone this far with this squad. So why would you get rid of them for game 3? I think there was someone within the New South Wales setup who said this to me, and I thought it was a really good point. They said that he seemed to think that they come off the loss better than they came off a win. I think there was definitely a lot of, I think that a few of them started to read their own press after that first game victory.
Mm.
And, you know, that's sort of the silver lining they're trying to take out of it. That's the message they're trying to tell themselves. As I said, though, it was a very shattered dressing room afterwards. Mm. Wade Graham, I quoted him today. He blamed himself for the missed tackle that he made in midway or in the 52nd minute that led to Gay Guy's try. So... whether they can bounce back from that. They sat in silence for 10 minutes before they came off the field, so it was pretty haunting in that room. Whether they come back for it, that's the big question ahead of game 3.
They can bounce back, Webby. Let's hope you have a great weekend and bounce back from that. Thanks for your thoughts this morning.
I'll do my best. Good. Have a good trip, TK.
Thank you very much, Webby. I'll send you a Instagram photo from Chasing Leopards and Kruger National Park.
Oh, good luck with the chasing a leopard.
Yeah.
I'll back the leopard in that one.
Oh, maybe a cougar.
There you go. I think you've caught a few, haven't you, in your time?
Long time ago.